Christmas time for you as a family. So it was a privilege for us to pray with you guys, and so we're glad to see you guys. It's been a while. So we're really grateful that you guys are okay. Len had talked to me just before Christmas there too and said Burl's doing better. And so she has energy for anybody who would like to come and visit her. So please feel free to come and go visit Len and Burl. She got her energy back. So if you're feeling led, I would encourage you to go and just encourage them. She was down and out for quite a while too. So we wanna lift them up as part of our family too, and just to encourage them. She is still there. Okay. She's still in the hospital, but up for visits. Len said. But up for visits. So please, if you're over there and seeing somebody else or if you have time this week, please go on over and give them some encouragement, some love. Well, how are we? Can you believe it's 2025 already? Hard to believe, hey? It went really quick. Everybody had a good Christmas break? Survived? I think I was telling you, a friend of mine sent something to me, and they said I'm playing a new game called December, and it's where you just try to survive every day in September or in December. So Christmas can be a busy time, but hopefully we all had time to reflect on the coming of Christ. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you so much for your presence. That God, that we can all come before you here this morning and sit here in peace and in comfort and contentment, all because you came and because you live in us, giving us your peace, giving us your joy, that inexpressible joy, as Peter calls it. Thank you that you want to come and speak to your people, that you have a word that you want them to hear, that you have a plan for this community church in 2025. So, Lord, feel free to have your way here today. You come and speak to our hearts, and let us be encouraged as we walk away. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, anybody make any New Year's resolutions? No. Jesus said, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. But I have a challenge for myself. My daughter is getting married in July of this year. And everybody would very much like me to fit my nice Hugo Boss suit that I wore years ago. But it means I have to lose a lot of weight. So I'm hoping, pray with me. My issue is I really love food. Can anybody relate to that? Oh, I just love food. Food's too good. But I have to love it a little less this year so I can fit into that suit. So let our yes be yes, no be no. New Year's resolutions, I don't know if they work or not. Some people go, they usually fizzle out is the statistics that they say. But Jesus simply said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. I pray for us this year as a church family that it's a wonderful year for us of growth, of healing, and contentment with where Christ will lead us together. That's my prayer for us. As I reflected on, okay, God, what do you want to do this year? That would be it. That, God, that this is a wonderful year of growth for each person in this family. That it's a time of healing for everybody in this family who needs healing and contentment with where exactly he's going to lead us. That's my prayer. I've titled the first sermon of this year, Standing Firm in Christ in 2025. That's what I've titled this first sermon of the year of 2025, Standing firm in Christ. It's an interesting day and time we're living in, isn't it? It's a very interesting time that we're living in. And it's hard to believe. I was just talking to Donna here this morning saying, man, as we get older, time goes faster and faster, doesn't it? And it just seems to go by quicker. And I honestly, it's hard to believe we're in January of 2025 already. And as I've been reflecting on the past year and into this year, I thought, man, we are living in a very interesting day and time. And why do I say that? Well, I had this wonderful conversation actually not very long ago with Scott Dixon. And Scott, he works in the head office of the Alliance Church in Calgary, and he's a church development team associate. And we had a great conversation together. Probably ended up being longer than we had allotted, but we were enjoying our conversation. And he asked me a question, which he was very careful to formulate, which I understood why after he'd asked it to me. And he started by giving me kind of a precursor by saying, I hope this doesn't offend you, but where are you at with all that's going on today? With all that's going on in the world, like, what's your stance? What's your theological stance on that? And I kind of laughed because I understood. I said, be at ease, brother. I said, I know what you're saying. I know where you're coming from because it's an interesting time that we live in. And he rightfully asked me that question. It was a good question to ask me. He wants to know, where do I stand, where I'm at, you know, what has happened over the past 17 years since you pastored here that long ago? Because we're living in such a carnal, fleshly time, aren't we? It's a very carnal time. It's a very fleshy time. It's an interesting time where they're trying to dilute the truth. They're trying to dilute it. They're trying to make everything acceptable. And they're making every effort possible to throw out absolute moral truth, to be rid of an absolute moral compass, to be rid of Christ and his followers. And that stuff is happening all around the world. But without him, without Christ, without God, we actually have no absolute moral truth, do we? We actually don't have a moral compass because he is the truth and he is the compass, right? What does it say in John? I am the way, the compass, right? I am the truth. He is the truth. Truth is a person. So without him, we don't have a way, do we? We don't have a way. We need him in this day and age. It was interesting. We were up in the city just the other day. Was that yesterday? Okay, just yesterday. And it's interesting. I don't know if you have noticed when you go to the city shopping and you go into different stores, but there are many stores now who have this very colorful sticker in the shape of a flag. Has anybody noticed that? And they have them on the front doors, and they have them on the front windows of all these stores, and it's in the shape of a flag. And for the longest time, I could not figure out what country that flag was from. And I was trying to, so finally I started to ask around. I think it was one of my kids who said, Dad, well, that's the LGBTQ plus minus divide and however else it goes now. They keep adding to it, I guess. So I'm not sure how you say it now anymore, but they have these stickers on all these doors and all these windows. I saw it on Starbucks. We had to return something for Aiden at Pro Hockey Life, and Pro Hockey Life had that sticker on their front window. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Like so many stores now, I'm seeing this, which I now know is the LGBTQ, however you say it, plus kind of flag, sticker kind of thing. And I wondered this actually yesterday. I wondered if I approached those same stores with stickers of a cross, which I guess you could say would be the flag of Christendom, and to see who would put them up on their front doors or windows today. I don't know that they would accept that, right? I don't know that they would do that. But we are living in a day, and this all just came from my conversation with Scott. We had a really great conversation. I think he was quite relieved after I kind of told him where my stance was. I think I could hear his over the phone. And and just because it's an issue today. And so I thought we should probably talk about it and kind of what is our stance on things? Who are we as a church, and what is our answer to all this? What is our way in all of this? But we live in a day where people want to question the natural biology of a male and a female, right? Where you can identify as whatever you want, supposedly. Males can now be females, I guess. Females, males. You can even enter the Olympics as such, right? Men were boxing women, and that's going on. You can be binary or non-binary, whichever that means. You can be referred to as they or them, or he, she, or she, he. And you can even identify as a cat or some kind of animal. And there's a lot of confusion for people today, isn't there? Right? Like, there's just a lot of confusion out there. That's why I say, isn't it an interesting time? Some of you who are older, would you ever believe that we would be in this world that we're living in today? I remember my mom and her brothers and sisters. I remember when my grandma passed away at the very beginning of COVID, I remember they're saying, well, thank the Lord. It was probably good, right? Because of everything that was coming. Grandma was already having a hard time with how are people believing these things and following these kind of things. But we cannot forget who loves to bring about confusion, right? It's the enemy. It's Satan, right? That's his job. His job is to bring confusion, and is his job to make the lie sound like truth, right? That's what deception is. Deception is misapplied truth. It's truth misapplied, right? You're making it sound like the truth, but it's actually not the truth. Now, there are things that the enemy will tell you that are true about you and what's going on in your life and things you've messed up on. And he'll always tell you what's true, but he'll never lead you to the truth, though, will he? Right? There's a difference between what's true and what's the truth. Right? He may tell you what's true. So I remember when I was in Denmark and I was getting this point across, because the enemy is a deceiver. He wants to bring about confusion, when actually Christ came to make it simple, didn't he? That's why he came, because the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the religious leaders, were making following God so complicated and so complex. And Jesus said, just be like one of these little ones who simply believe. It's actually not that complicated. So I was talking about what's true and what's truth. And so I gave an example of that. And so when I was there at the conference in Denmark, my contact's name was Nikolai. And I said to Nikolai, I said, you know what? I thought the Danish were supposed to be very hospitable people. That's what I heard. I heard that Danish people are supposed to be very hospitable. And Nikolai, I've been coming over here for years, but not once did you offer me tea, did you? And you know I love tea. I love tea. I love tea. I drink tea. I want tea. I love drinking tea. Right? I ask Myron every Sunday, would you like a tea? And Myron always turns me down. No, I don't want tea. Right? I love tea. And I said, now, Nikolai, not once did you ask me for tea, did you? Not once did you offer me tea. And you could hear a pin drop in the room. And everybody was quiet, like, oh, my goodness, what is this guy saying? And he said, well, no. I said, no, you never. You never offered me once. That's true, isn't it? Well, yes, that's true. I said, but the truth is, I told you don't bother to offer me any because I travel with my own tea. I bring my own. You see the difference? That was true, but it wasn't the truth. Right? And the enemy's job is to bring confusion, to misapply truth. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And so there's a lot of interesting things going on in today's world. And what is going to be our response to that? Scott rightfully asks me this question on where I stand with all that is going on today. Because as we both expressed to each other, it has now infiltrated itself into the church today. And some people refer to it as woke thinking, right? That's kind of a buzzword now. It's, are you woke? And I think that's what when Scott asked me, and he couldn't come up with the right words because he says, I don't want to offend you, but I said, are you asking me if I'm woke? And he said, well, yeah, thanks. I said, brother, I am not woke. I am resurrected, and I am risen in him, but I am not woke. And he could hear him let out this, thank the Lord. Because this thinking and all of these lies that are going on have now infiltrated itself into the church, as Scott was explaining to me, as he's been a pastor for a while. He's much older than me, so he's had a lot more experience talking with different churches about this, and it's infiltrated itself into the church where denominations have accepted it and even have church leaders who've now endorsed it, even pastors. And so it's an interesting time that we live in. Now, I'm not saying, and I want to be very clear in this, so everybody look at me. I did my hair really nice for you today. Thank you, brother. All right? Now, what I'm not saying is that we are to hate those who have chosen that kind of life. That's not what I'm saying. We're not to hate those people who've chosen this. And I'm not saying that they won't be welcomed here. Everybody's welcome here who wants to come. So I want to be very clear on that as I talk about this. I'm not saying we're hating them and we're, get away from me. You will not be loved here and you will not be welcomed here. You will be welcomed here. Everybody, right? The gospel was not exclusive, right? It was inclusive. But Jesus didn't compromise truth, did he? He never, ever compromised the truth. And so I would love us for a church, we want to speak the truth in love. Amen? And sometimes that means being firm, isn't it? Right? Sometimes that's what it means. But we won't allow the infiltration of these lies to be accepted here at PCC. Amen? Amen? And I don't say that in hate with a heart full of judgment and hate. I actually say that with a heavy heart. Because there's so many people being less misled by all this. And so I would love for us in Little Provost to be a light shining in the darkness. Right? Where the way is clear here. Where you won't be judged. You'll be loved. But we won't apologize for speaking the truth. You're giving your opinion and your way, so we're going to give ours. So why couldn't I bring a cross flag to these doors? Right? I mean, amen. It's what the world needs. I want you to know that as a pastor, that I still believe there is right and wrong. And I think there's a right way to live and there's a wrong way to live. There's a way that you can do things that will bring life to you, and there's a way that you can do and say things that will deplete life from you. So I still believe, at my age of nearing 50, that there's still right and wrong. That there still is black and white, as they used to say. But many are coming and have already come where they're wanting to make everything a gray area. It's all gray, actually. There is no black and white. It's all gray, kind of. And they're trying to dilute black and white into gray areas. So no longer black and white. Now, God has written the way into this life that can bless you. Amen? Amen. He's written the way into this life that can bless you. But if you live opposite to his way, your life will absolutely frustrate you and depress you. Right? If you live anti-Christ, that will be a very frustrating, depressing way to live. And it'll just bring a lot of bondage into your life. Because God has written a way into this life to live. But there's also a way you can live in this life that wasn't his way and that never was. And that's what's happening today. Let me use this as an example. I used to do roofing. Anybody here ever done roofing before? Yeah. So it's in the summer, in the heat of summer, it's not fun work, right? So my dad taught me how to do roofing. And so when I was in like grade 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, I was kind of the town roofer. I got to do a number of roofs for people, and it was kind of a trade that my dad taught me to do to make money in the summers. So I do it on my own, and people in the little village of Binscarth, Manitoba weren't in a hurry. Life goes very slow there. And so I got to do roofing. And so anybody who's done roofing, you know there's a lot of hammering involved, right? You have to put up this, what I'll just call kind of tar paper before you put the shingles on. And you have these little tack nails. And you tack this tar paper all over the roof. And there's a ton of nails going into it. And you're just hammering all the time. Now, whenever I hit the hammer on that nail, it felt so good. Boom. And I got so good at it, I could do it with one hit. And I'd be boom, boom, boom. And it felt so good. Yes, that's the way. Boom. But every once in a while, my thumb would get stuck between the hammer and the nail. And boom. And I would have it set, but I was in such a rhythm, but I'd fumble that little tack nail. Boom, I'd hit my thumb. And every time I did that, life was faithful to punish me. That's not the way. That hurts. And it hurts a lot. That's just not the way. And it's the same in this life. God has written a way that you can live in this life that's like hitting that nail. Ah, yes, that's the way. But there's also a way that you can live where life will punish you every time you do it. Because it's not the way. It is just isn't the way. Does that make sense to you? Right? And you'll know because His Spirit is in you. Amen? And He'll let you know that's not the way. That will not bring life to you. I've said to my kids, and, well, I'll give it away to Aiden, but I had conversations with Paige and with Madison when they graduated and they're leaving home. And I said, now here is my last piece of advice to you, right? Now, if you want my advice or my counsel anymore, you have to solicit it from me. I will not give you unsolicited counsel advice anymore because now you're 18. You've been under my parenting of your mothers and I for 18 years of your life or however long. They came back home because we made it too good for them. So they missed us. And so I said to them, I said, now you've been under our parenting. You know the way we believe is the way to live. So here's my last bit of counsel to you. Unsolicited counsel. As you leave home and you go start your life and your journey, all I want you to do is ask yourself one question. Is what you're about to do or what you're about to say, will it bring life to you or will it deplete life from you? Because if it will deplete life from you, don't say it, don't do it. It's not the way. But if it will bring life to you, then go ahead. That's the way. And the Holy Spirit will let you know. Amen? Right? That's it. We have a built-in green, amber, and red light. Right? Green means go. Go. Amen. That's the way. Amber, oh, we're getting a little close to the line. Red, stop. Don't do it. That's not the way. It will not bring life to you. It will only deplete life from you. And we can avoid that, can't we? We get the choice to listen to the Holy Spirit in our life or not. We get that choice. So on this first Sunday of 2025, I would like us all to remember. Okay, everybody listening? I would like us to remember to pray for each other. Even those who aren't here today who couldn't be here. Some are still on holidays. Kids don't officially go back to school till tomorrow. So remember those who aren't here. But I would like us all to remember to pray for each other throughout the year that we as a church family and as individuals inside of this church family will stand firm in Christ and never compromise His truth. Amen? Amen. Right? So that's my prayer. As I was thinking about, Lord, what is it that You want from here? What do You want to accomplish through me? What is it that You want? I want Your will, not mine. And that's one of them. that we would pray for each other throughout the year, that we wouldn't remember. Jot these down on a note in your bulletin, on the sermon notes on the back, and put it somewhere where you remember to pray for each other, that we will never compromise His truth, but we will always speak His truth in love, not in hatred, right? And that we're always welcoming no matter who walks through these doors here. That we welcome them and we show His love to them. Or better yet, allow His love to be poured through us to them. Right? So they know they're welcomed. This is a safe place for you here. Hey? If you brought your friends, don't you want to feel so secure that there's not even a blip on your radar map that this isn't a safe place? Right? Like you can bring them here knowing this is such a safe place to bring my friends who have dangerous questions to ask. Right? Who maybe fear rejection for what they've done, what they're currently believing in, what they're working through. I hope that this is a safe place for anybody who comes through these doors. And they can ask whatever they want. And they can work through whatever they want here. So that's my one prayer. Okay? That's one of the things I would like to see. I was thinking of when Jesus cleared the temple courts. We don't preach on that very often, but this is the kind of the story that God brought. Do you remember that story in the Gospels where Jesus cleared the temple courts? And He came in and they were selling doves and animals for people to sacrifice. And Jesus is like, what is going on? This is to be a house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of robbers and thieves. And what did Jesus start doing? Yeah, He started flipping over tables and it was a righteous anger, right? Right? That's the word we like to use because we get confused. But anger's bad, right? We're supposed to be peaceful. But it was a righteous anger. This is my Father's house. What are you doing to my Father's house? And He starts flipping over these tables. Now, think about that if that was you. Would that not be hard to do? We like people to like us, right? But Jesus could not compromise truth, right? He couldn't compromise. He would not. Now, I'm not saying we're going to be out there looking for tables to flip over. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm using that as an example. There's going to be tough situations that we will find ourselves in this year where you like to be liked in the crowd and with others. You don't want to stand out. Or do you want to stand alone? Right? But God's asking us, don't compromise my truth, right? Because it's the truth that will set them free. Right? It's that very truth that will set them free. And there's going to be some difficult situations that we'll find ourselves in. Amen? Amen? We've all experienced it, right? Now, don't believe the lie, though, that you're alone in that moment. Even if one of your brothers and sisters aren't with you, because who is with you? Jesus. That's what allowed traveling to make it easier for me. Because I always missed my wife and my kids, always wondering what I was doing. And I always told the Lord, I'm so alone. But He says, what is the message I have you sharing? Christ in you, your hope of glory. I'm like, oh, yeah, right. I'm not alone. Man, that changed everything for me when God brought that truth to life, though, right? It came to life for me that day. Right? It had life to it. Those words had life and light to me. Amen? Do you know when you've read a verse 1,000 times, but one day there was life to it, right? And you're like, oh, I get it, right? But you were just in the place where God knew it's time for you to receive the revelation of this truth. Amen? Amen. Okay. I also pray that this year that we could advertise that PCC is a place where you cannot offend. You just cannot offend us. Right? Because we are so rooted in Christ and we have our security and our significance so wrapped up in Him that it's really hard to offend us. Wasn't it hard for them, the Pharisees, to offend Jesus? Right? I'm thinking about the Lord's Supper. And Judas is there, the one who He knew was going to betray Him. But Jesus chose not to be offended by that, didn't He? He still dined with them and supped with Him. Right? When we get offended, it's because I still want something from that other person. Right? But when you don't live for the praises of men, as Jesus said, because you're so rooted in him and so secure and significant in him, it's really hard to offend you. Do you understand? So I wish if we had a church sign out there, I would love to say PCC, a place where you cannot offend. The problem is we get so offended, right? As we get so offended by what others say or did to me or to us, right? But Jesus still loved them. He refused to be offended by them. Now, didn't compromise truth, though, did he? Right? Never compromised the truth. And I pray that this year of 2025 that we labor in these two things, okay? So you with me so far? Not going to compromise truth. We're going to learn to be offended until we can't be offended anymore, right? Because we're so rooted and steeped in his truth and in his life that it's really hard to offend us because we live to him, not to others, right? And I want us to labor in these two things, to keep our focus on Christ. That would be my prayer for us this year. Because there's so many things vying for our attention off of him, right? There's so many distractions, right? So many things to get our eyes off of him, and that's exactly what the enemy wants. Because if I don't see him, I don't see my hope anymore, do I? If I don't see him, I don't discover my joy, do I? If I don't see him, I lose my peace, right? Fix your eyes on me, Jesus said. Right, I will keep you in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Right? So I want us to labor in that, to keep our focus on Christ, because, man, there'll be so many things vying for your attention off him. The other is to keep this message simple, because I promise you there'll be so many people who want you to complicate it. Right? I've experienced that all the time. Yeah, but this chat and this and this and this and this and this. Yeah, but he's the God with no additions and no subtractions. Amen. You don't add to him. You don't take away from him. He's God, period, end of discussion, right? Right? So that's what Jesus did. He came to simplify what the religious leaders made so complicated for the people trying to follow God. Remember when the person asked Jesus, we talked about this in October, back when I did a sermon in October, you probably don't remember, like you guys remember all my messages. I don't even remember them all. But where Jesus said, Lord, what is it that you require? What is the work that you require of us? And do you remember what he said? Simply believe in the one he has sent. That's it. He didn't give a list of all these things to do. Right? He said, believe. Believe in the Son of God. So you got that? Can we pray for each other in those two things? Right? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. It's weird. But all the problems, all the things, it just grows strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. We want to fix our eyes on him, keep our focus on him, because I promise you in 2025 there'll be a lot of things that could come in your life to distract your attention off of him. And the other again is to keep this message simple. Jesus said, so that even one of these little children can believe, right? Right? It should be that simple. It should be that simple. Okay. Why, does time fly on Sunday mornings or what? It really does. Well, amen, brother. Okay. Well, I should wrap it up then, and we'll go into communion. Can I just say this last thing? Jesus did a lot of great things, right? Like, he did a lot of great things. He fed the 5,000. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He made the lame to walk again. He calmed the storms. He walked on water. He brought people back to life who were dead. But I also believe the greatness of Christ was also shown in his refusals. the things that he refused in his life. The things that he refused to enter into his life as he lived in this world with us. He refused to be depressed, didn't he? Because he knew his Father. He refused anxiety. Right? Remember that verse? Do not be anxious about anything. But by prayer and petition, bring your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus refused all. Does that not also show his greatness? And I hope for you and your families and for us as a church that we also refuse those things that he did, that we practice that, that we learn that. It takes time, doesn't it? Because sometimes we need contrast, right? Right? How do I know what thin is if I don't know what fat is? Right? How do I know what hard is if I don't know what soft is? Right? It's how God's ordained it for us to learn too. So some seasons you might go through a bit of a winter, right? A bit of a tough season. But the goal is, as it said in Old Testament, in my distress, I sought the Lord. Right? And I hope that is what we do. So let's refuse anxiety. Let's refuse depression. Let's choose to find our contentment in him who lives within. Right? That is where our peace is. That is the mystery that Paul said to the Christian life. The mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you, your hope of glory. That's our secret. It's the secret to the Christian life, his life in you. Amen? Now, I love that we get to do this the first Sunday of 2025. We get to partake together.